Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, and that's what this is all about. It's about being able to give away freely what we have received freely. In the studio with me today to help give away freely, and this is a difficult thing for him to do. No, it's only money that you have a difficult thing of departing with. Give it away freely. What?
I give away money.
No, I know, but you know you're a very good steward of your money.
I am careful with
careful. That's a good word
with the spent with my spending.
Yes,
but then I also love to spend at the same time. So yeah. I'm quite conflicted.
No, you're quite controlling. Is what it is.
I would have preferred the word controlled over controlling.
Anyway, good to have you here this morning, brother.
Thanks.
I can only speak to someone that I really love and care about, you know, like that without, you know, worry that our relationship is going to fall apart and everything. So anyway, so.
Well, I almost just went out the door. No, it's
happen.
All good.
Debbie actually put, you know, locked the door on me.
It's dead bolted from the outside. You're not going to.
It's not going to happen. We have a topic today that you and I can relate with, and I believe that there's not a person who's listening, whether it be a man or a stealthy woman that might be listening today, and it's on lust.
Mm-hmm.
Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, you know, just lust. And we all take it sometimes that, oh man, he's going to talk about pornography. Well, yeah, we probably will, you know. But there are other things that we can be lusting toward, in a sense. And we're going to talk about here momentarily. So I don't even want to give you an opportunity to start talking because I know that I just have to shut up because you'll be going like crazy today.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yep, I'm not even going to let you get a word in edgewise today.
I might try to have to squeeze one in there, though. Yeah, but anyway.
I think you might manage.
How? What does that mean? I can see what kind of show this is going to be today. So what do we have? Anything for encouragement for the men today?
Sure.
I mean, you don't have to.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the Word of God. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 4. It says, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Now, I think that maybe there are some other guys out there who might agree with me that they struggle on pretty much every single point of this passage, because I'm often not patient in my love. I'm often not kind. I have a tendency to be envious and boastful. But I'll tell you, one of the things that really gets me where it says it does not insist on its own way, or in other words, another way of saying that is that it doesn't seek itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a tendency in my thinking of love to, like, well, I will love you if you love me back, or I will love you so that you love me back.
Mm.
You know, but both of these things are, you know, it's not the way that God wants us to love, because this this love that's talked about here, and the Greek word is agape, which is, you know, it's like a beloved. It's an endeared. It's a love feast. It's, you know, yes. It's like this. It's a perfect love, and you know, in Greek there's lots of different words for love, you know, whereas in English we have just the one, so we kind of struggle with that. But the word here is it's a perfect godly love, and you know, and while I'm created in God's image and I'm made to love because I'm created in God's image, Raul, I fail at these things because, you know, even the image of God in which I'm created is tainted by my sinfulness. And so when I look at this and I think, you know, am I loving, not expecting anything in return? You know, and I think about how sometimes we might have a family member who, you know, that we're reaching out to, and we're trying to love because Jesus first loved us, but you know, it's just not coming back to us, or maybe it's a friend, or maybe it's a coworker, whatever the situation is. We reach out in love, but we feel like it, you know, it's not being paid back. So, you know, the response that is within us is like, well, I'm just going to give up on loving this person. And so my encouragement to the guys today is to try and put off that attitude, to say, you know what, God loved me when I was his enemy, you know, because before I was in Christ, I was an enemy of the cross, and God still loved me even then, not just because I wouldn't love him back, you know, which is tough enough, but I was an enemy of the cross, as we all were, but God still loved us, and he loved us so much that, you know, 2,000 years ago, he went up on that cross, and he took the nails so that we could be in perfect communion with him, and so my encouragement to the guys is to resist that temptation to give up on somebody, just because, you know, we don't feel the love in return.
You know, not putting expectations on people, places, or things is a difficult thing for us to do. We are, I think, born in nature, in sinful nature, I guess is the best way of saying it, that we are like that. We are looking for the very, you know, what am I going to receive from this as a result of that? Well, I'm not expecting anything, but if I do get anything, that's going to be even better. Well, even by making that statement, you're actually expecting it, okay? So, but that's a difficult thing because I have to stop thinking about me. See, when I'm thinking and taking care of others, and that's solely for the whole purpose of doing it, rather than what am I going to get from it, then I get me out of the picture. And then all of a sudden, guess what? I'm received differently than I would be otherwise. And we always think that people don't see what we're all about. Yes, they do. And it's quite clear in a lot of cases, especially those who know you very well. And if you think you get one by on the people who don't know you, you never know who God might put in your life that all of a sudden is going to remind you that humble pie tastes pretty good every now and then. So you might be just well aware that greater is he who is in you. And when you seek to do his will only and seek to help others, you're doing everything he wants you to be doing, and he'll give you everything that you need. So
yeah, amen to that.
But anyway, so good encouragement. Good encouragement. So back away. Anyway, let's get into this topic because I can hardly wait to hear what you have to say about all of this.
Yeah, so we're gonna segue from a four letter word that starts with L into another four letter word that starts with L.
I like that. That's really, really good. I tell you what, give me nucks. Blow them up. All right. So from love to lust.
That pretty much says it all.
You know, it's funny. I gotta just tell you. You know, so often I think back when I was. Right after I graduated from high school, I went into the military, and when I was overseas and visiting areas of the world I never thought I'd ever see, and had opportunities of being with other types of people and other cultures, and I tell you what, I found myself like I was in a candy store in a sense, okay? And I mean candy store in the sense that there's a lot of choices here that actually could actually just to be able to describe without getting rude or anything, that would be very luscious in having, acquiring it or having it, right? And so doing, I found myself as a 19-year-old, okay, in some of these locations, using the word love like it was, you know, nothing, like it was an adjective, you know, in anything mm-hmm. else. Oh, I love you, and, you know, because I knew I was going to receive something as a result of that, okay? And really what it comes down to is that later on in my life, when I started looking at getting my things kind of screwed on straight on my, you know, between the shoulders, you know, and all of a sudden it was like, all of a sudden I realized that, you know what, I have no concept. I have no concept of what love is. I knew what lust was, and I thought that's what love was all about. So I was being truthful for what I knew, saying I love you, because I didn't know anything about the word lust at that time, honestly. Mm-hmm. And it was like, wow, I'm going, man, did I have it so backwards on everything? And that's what you get when you pay attention to your friends and asking them the questions or listening to them on how you ought to live your life, you know? You get come up with things like that, you know? Anyway.
Yeah, well, we can easily confuse love with lust.
Yes.
You know, and especially, you know, like I was saying earlier in the show, how our English language, we only have the one word for love.
Yes.
Whereas other languages have multi, you know, words for love. So, you know, it says, like, what kind of love? It's like, yes. You know, an erotic love, a brotherly love.
Yeah. Fellatio, agape. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So other cultures do have advantages mm-hmm. Over us in that, but the thing is that sin is sin, and it's been sin from the beginning of time, and there's nothing new. So even these people with, you know, who can use different words for love and describe things better, they still got love and lust mixed up.
Yes,
you know, it's there's nothing new under the sun, and you know, so we need to look at, you know, well, what is lust then?
Mm-hmm.
Because lust is really lust is a you know, a strong desire for something,
mm-hmm.
a strong passionate desire, mm-hmm. and that's not, believe it or not, it's not always a bad thing.
Yes,
because you know, how are we designed? Mm-hmm. We are designed to be in communion with God, right? And so we are designed to have a strong desire for Him, and so you can take that strong desire mm-hmm. that passionate desire for something, and you can call it lust mm-hmm. because it fits that, you know, that definition. But we, you know, we're designed to have that towards the God who made us.
Right.
Right. Right? And you know, for example, I'm going to go to Psalm 42 verses 1 and 2. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This is, you know, this is the words of David as his, you know, just expressing his, you know, his strong desire for God. And that's something that has been built into us as men. You know, mm-hmm. we all have these strong desires. The thing is that everything that we are is tainted by sin.
Yes.
Even those attributes that are what would be called the communicable attributes of God, you know, the ability to love,
mm-hmm.
Desire, faithfulness, you know, these things that God has given us, so that, you know, as we're created in His image, these are all good things, but they're tainted by our sinfulness. And even our desires have been, you know, tainted by sinfulness,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, It really manifests in all sorts of different ways. Like we were talking earlier, you know, you can lust after a car or yes. some other, you know, possession.
Yes.
You know, you can look at that and have a passionate desire for that thing because of, you know, I have to have that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, you know, that's you know, having things is not necessarily sinful, but when we when our passion is for that thing in above our passion for God, well, then it's idolatry and it's sin.
Right, right.
And that's where we get into the sinfulness of what lust is.
Yeah. And that's, but we are so, as men, we think that lust only means one thing, you know, that we've actually, and we think of it as a sexual sin, okay? And that's not truly what it is, but, you know, that's how we've only perceived it. Now, I'm not saying every guy feels that way all the time, but the majority of men, sometimes we just look at it as, when you mention lust, they all of a sudden think, oh, you're talking about pornography, you know? And, but that's because there's a lot of that kind of thinking in your head already.
Right. Yeah, we all go there because, well, it's something that the majority of us actually deal with, you know, on an ongoing, you know, struggle. You know, we might, while we might lust after the car, it's, you know, it's just something that's just kind of there. And it's like, you know, I don't have enough money for it anyways. You know, I'm not going to worry about this. But, you know, there are a lot of enticing images out in this world that we live in. And we can't do anything about the images. You know, I can't do anything about the billboard that's up on the interstate.
Yes.
And I can't do anything about the fact that, you know, women are beautiful and they walk past, you know, that they come into my vision and I see that, you know, these are, you know, they can fall into the area of temptation.
Yes.
But then, you know, I also have to realize that being tempted is not sinful. It's when I allow my flesh to act on the temptation.
Right.
You know, Jesus was tempted, but he didn't sin.
That's right.
You know, he spent all that time fasting in the desert. The devil came to him and tempted him and tried to give him all sorts of stuff. He said, the devil says, look at all this stuff. I'm going to give it all to you. And for which Jesus answered right back with the word of God, which is pretty awesome. And so we have, you know, we have tools that we've been given.
You know, one of the things I want to make sure that everyone understands that we do try to look up things so that we get true definitions for them. And I was just looking on my phone here on, and I brought up the meaning of lust. Okay. Come up with a couple different versions, pretty much the same. This is a very strong sexual desire. Okay. Have a very strong sexual desire for someone. Okay. An overwhelming desire or craving, a lust for power, okay? Intense eagerness or enthusiasm, a lust for life, okay? So here you get an example that's what we're talking about. That isn't necessarily all about sex, but in a sense, I'm not even sure if that's where the direction we want to go today on that. But let me ask you this. We had talked about it before. I said I was reading a book called Bond of Brothers, and Yoder is the guy's name who authored it. And he talks about two attributes that he believes that are in men. We talked about them, you and I, just for a short period of time. One of those attributes that he feels is so important, okay, one of the two, is honor, okay? To be able to receive honor and know that you're honorable. Okay, that's something that men strive to be. We want to be significant, recognized for being honored or honorable, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The other one is beauty. And most guys sit there and go, beauty? Well, for the same reasons of the things that we're talking about here. Men are created, we're created by God to be able to recognize beauty,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So that, because truly, I mean, what it comes down to is that, yes, we can look at a landscape, no matter whether it's a beachfront with white sand and warm temperatures, and you look at that and you go, look how beautiful that is. We see the pictures on the calendars. Well, where is that place? I want to go there, right? And we look at the landscape of, you know, whether it be a Mount McKinley, you know, with, you know, clear day, and you go, wow, look how beautiful those are. You know, you travel through the Cascades, same thing, no matter what it is. I mean, just a lake, okay, on an early morning with just the sun coming up, not quite up, and you know, there's a There's beautiful scenery, beautiful things to be able to, and we love that. Men love that. We may not recognize or speak about it to other men, like, or other, hey, look how cool that looks, you know. But inside we're going, man, look how beautiful that is. And now, as followers of Christ, I'd like to think that we're all thinking, thank you, Lord, for this beauty that you created for us.
Okay? Right. That would be the correct attitude towards that.
Exactly. And yet, what ends up taking place, that's why when there's like a supermodel, now we'll go where the beauty sometimes changes. The channel changes there. Because that beauty there kind of clicks off a little something within us, because we're created to make babies. Okay, that's part of our purpose. Okay, and all of a sudden that desires that you, I want to make babies with her. Okay, you know, and anyway, so and then it goes from there. We have a tendency. There's something that switches where all of a sudden God gave us something that is so awesome. I can't even come up with a word to think of how to describe it, and yet we get it and we just ruin it the way that God had intended. Now, I'm not just saying every man out there, but I'm saying, man, the majority of us, come on, let's get honest here.
Yeah, I fit into that category.
Man, we just blew it when it come to what, how God had intended things, you know?
Yeah.
And,
well, he's created us with that desire, right? As, as we've talked about, you know, he created us to be very visual. You know, men especially are very visual, and that, you know, we, whereas I think the ladies might be more on the emotional side and talking, which is not a bad thing, but I'm just saying that, you know, we're made different, okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Men are wired to take things in through the eyes and see the beauty of these things, right? So let's take, we have the desire, we have how men are visually stimulated, and then you add in biology, you know, because we're made to procreate. In fact, that's one of the first commandments that God gave Adam and Eve, you know, populate the earth. And then you take my own sinfulness, which is ready to take all these things that are in and of themselves not bad things, but to turn them into something incredibly evil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where I take something and I put it in the place where God belongs.
And we want to put everything in its proper place here, because truly what ends up taking place, we see something beautiful. There's a chemical reaction that takes place in us. There really is. That all of a sudden that it's like, oh, I mean, you sit there and you can almost feel it. It's like an adrenaline flow in a sense sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that drive is, you can call it many different things. A lot of guys will just call it what it is, testosterone, okay? That all of a sudden, and especially when you end up going to, and we're going to go back to that supermodel, and I'll say, because right now as I say that, most men are sitting there, they got a picture in your head already. Now get that out of there. Get that out of there, okay? Just look at the neck up. Right? And anyway, but here's the point. We got to take a break because we're way beyond. See, we got going on this thing. We're like 5 minutes late. Producers over there ready to throw things at us. But we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and continue talking on this same path of maybe the difference between love and lust.
Let's talk about fishing.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Lord, we're crying.
Yeah. good song. Do you know the whole song?
You know what? I was reading. I wasn't really paying attention to the song, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, well, I'm reading now, so I'm not paying attention to you. Only kidding. Okay, so let's get back to this. You know, we made a comment here earlier when you mentioned before we went on the break about fishing.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And I said, oh, see, and we got off the air, and I said, that's what that description of a lake in the early morning that I had mentioned got you thinking about fishing. And then you had said, do you remember what you said?
Well, yeah, I was likening men to fish.
Yes.
Because, you know, here we go fishing, you know, we throw the lure into the water, and here's this, like, this fake rubber worm on a hook, and the fish is like, I have to have that worm. You know?
I'm starving.
I'm starving, or it looks so good. I mean, well, no, I know I just ate, but that worm looks really good.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Oh, it sparkles a little bit. I gotta have that. James, in his letter, he writes something that really kind of points to this. Mm-hmm. James, at chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, it says, but each person is tempted when he was lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death.
Yes.
And I look at that, and I can kind of see a fish in the analogy.
Yes.
Because,
yeah.
You know, you throw the lure in to be a temptation, you know, and our enemy is constantly,
yes,
throwing lures into the water,
yes,
to be the temptation for us, you know, and not just that, but, you know, I don't always need the devil's help to sin, mm-hmm, you know. I'm pretty good at allowing, you,
yeah,
know, any temptation,
yeah,
to take hold of me, and, you know, but, you know, so we throw this lure in the water, right?
Mm-hmm.
This lure is thrown in the water, and we look at it, and we're enticed by it.
Yes.
And you might follow that lure around for a while before you finally decide to bite it.
Yeah,
right?
Now's the time. Or you might even go up and nudge it a little bit, get a little nibble, see what, oh, I wonder what that tastes like. Mmm.
Uh-huh, yep, yep. We want to test it, see, you know, like,
yep,
what we can get away with.
Yep, yep.
You know, maybe you know that there's a hook
there.
So
we're actually saying men are like fish.
Men are like fish. You,
yes,
know, that's why Jesus says, I'm going to make you fishers of men, right?
Amen. That's right. That's right. So often we sit there and in this, using this analogy like this, really what it comes down to is that he wants us to be fishers of men. You know, that we catch them, okay, and he cleans them. Seriously, I mean, he says, don't worry, you just catch the fish, I'll clean them.
This is no catch and release program here.
Yeah, you catch them and the Lord will clean them. Anyway, but this thing on lust, so often we end up challenged with right throughout the day, okay, every day, of this is a battle. This is a, you know, the battlefield is in between the ears, right? You know, as I can't remember her name that wrote Battlefield of the Mind. And anyway, so, but it is something that we have to try to keep arrested, okay,
mm-hmm,
throughout every moment of the day, because we don't know when temptation's coming. Oh, yes, you may know that if you end up, you're heading to the beach in, you know, on a sunny day, you know you're heading toward temptation.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. But thoroughly, as you're driving your truck around making deliveries, you're not thinking that, okay, I'm going to, you know, it just shows up.
Yeah.
The temptation just shows up. You're not expecting it. Okay. Especially on a rainy day and stuff. But yet, even on a rainy day or a cold, blustery day, that same situation is going to come up. And we have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And most guys, I don't know how they deal with it. I know what I used to do. I would set that aside. Say, I'm going to take a look at this a little bit later. Just, you know, I'm going to just, you know, kind of just see what this is all about a little bit later. I've got other things I've got to do. I'm being responsible.
Well, yeah. Well, what you're doing is you're making provisions.
Oh, really?
Well, okay. So we go back to the fish, right? So
yes,
the lure's in the water, you're trolling, right? And
yes,
so it's like it's going around and it's
yep,
it's flashing and it's wiggling and the fish is following it around,
mm-hmm,
right? Because he's seen it and he can't get his mind off of that.
Right.
And so he's following it. Now, if he's following it, he's like, he at some point he's going to strike it because he just can't control himself. He's not going to have the self-control to not do this thing.
Right.
And so, you know, we're like that. We'll see something, we'll be tempted by something, and we don't immediately turn away from it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't immediately repent of it and renounce it.
Right.
We don't immediately hold captive that thought for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what we do as men is we give it provision.
Yes.
And we say, I'm just going to, like you said, I'm going to keep this for later, or I'm just going to, you know, take a little extra long look, you know, whatever it is, you know. And Paul talks about this in Romans 13:14. It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires.
Hmm.
And but we do that.
Yep.
We do that when we follow the worm for a while.
Yes, yes.
You know, and we're making the provision to, because when we go down that road, our resolve becomes weaker and weaker and weaker as we continue to follow the worm and say, you know, I gotta have that worm.
Right, right.
You know,
and the same thing applies to, again, we're using, you know, the connotation or the description of sexual lust. Okay, majority. But this also applies to other things. It could be a food obsession, right?
Yeah, it could.
I mean, it could be someone. I mean, seriously, when I was back in the day when I used to, you know, I worked for Hostess Cake, okay? And I mean, Hostess, they made Twinkies, cupcakes, all sorts of other goodies.
How well did they monitor the inventory in your
truck? Not very well. I was able to sneak a box out of there every day, just about. But anyway, my point being is that can become an obsession. That can become something that I'm lusting over. And especially if you haven't had it for a while. And then you see it on the shelf when you're no longer in that, you know, you sit and go, oh man, look at that. I mean, you look at a chocolate cake, if you're, you know, that it's just been freshly made, that's just freshly frosted, you sit there and go, oh my goodness, you know. Steak that's grilling on the grill.
Well, there's a reason that gluttony is considered a sin as well.
Amen. But my point being is that this lust can be on, you can apply this to anything. Because I want to take a break right now, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to take the last few minutes seriously already and give maybe some application on how to be able to deal with lust and how to be able to keep from it becoming sin.
Right.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven, or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote. 360-312-9524 or visit their website, CanesLawnAndGarden.com. CanesLawnAndGarden.com.
The same power that rose Jesus from the grave. The same power that commands the dead to wake lives in us. Lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks. The same power that can call the raging sea lives in us.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, Eric and Raul. And you know, one thing about lust, okay, that desire turns into, you know, it becomes a temptation, and all of a sudden it conceives itself into sin eventually if we stay with it and stay focused on that, you know, which, like anything else, you know, it's like getting your attention. We yeah. used to, when I was in sales, in automobile sales, I should say, Saturday mornings, our boss would try to get us going for a Saturday to, hey, to be able to sell as many vehicles as you can today. We put balloons out and everything, and he brings in donuts at the start of the day and everything, and he does this hoorah, rah, rah thing, and everyone knows what's going to take place. And he ends up getting a handful of bills. Sometimes there's a 20 in there, and there's a lot of ones and a five. And in the middle of the room, around with all this large table, with all the salesmen around it, he throws this up in the air. It hits the ceiling and explodes. All these bills are all over. And guess what the men are doing? They're diving to get us, because that's for you to take. And he wants to get us going on that sort of thing. And the lure, of course, is the money. You know, get more and more money. And the more that you sell, the more money you make. And, you know, anyway, it's a method of doing that. Well, that's what takes place here with the lust of the eyes, the temptation, okay? And then all of a sudden, the sin becomes... Well, you know, I want to read something here that we both have. It says, the next step in the downward progression of temptation, according to James 1, and that's where you talked about, that desire conceives. Lust begins as a seed, a thought packed with wrong desire. If we allow the seeds of lust to germinate, they will sprout into something bigger, more powerful, more difficult to uproot. Temptation becomes sin when it is allowed to germinate. Desire takes on a life of its own and becomes lust. Jesus made it clear that lust is sin, even if we do not physically act on it.
Yeah, that's Matthew chapter 5, 27. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
Yes.
You know, because we might be tempted to say, well, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
You know, well, the big deal is that, you know, it is a sin.
Yes.
Even whether the lust is acted on or whether it's played out in the theater of our minds, it's a sin. What has just taken place, mm-hmm. That's not a little thing, because
yes.
the wages of sin is death.
Yes,
and you know, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, and I am mm-hmm. so thankful.
Yes,
because you know, I can't do this on my own. If it were not for the grace of God, every man would perish, and I know that, you know, I would be the first one to go.
yeah, and that's where part of this is just an awareness of being, you know. The first step of any type of recovery, okay, is recognizing that there's a problem.
Yeah.
It's to recognize and acknowledge that there's a problem. And in this, when it comes to, I mean, if we're always lusty, and you guys know it, you know, when you're driving down the road or where you're already thinking maybe some thoughts and then all of a sudden something comes up and you're still, you know, then it's just more stuff that's given, right? And, we are looking for something. That's what it comes down for. We're looking for something. We want beauty in our lives, but then the beauty, we just extract what we think is what it's all about, okay?
Right. When really the most beautiful thing is the grace of God. And when we go and we pursue something, you know, the created thing rather than the creator,
yes.
you know, we've misplaced our desires from where they have been designed to be.
Right.
You know, and so we need to start looking at how do we battle this as a Christian? You know, like, what are some things that
well,
I can do?
A big part of it is, one, is to acknowledge that there's a challenge here.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You may not want to call it a problem. You may not call it anything, but can you acknowledge the fact that, you know, you got a challenge going on here? And you guys are talking about one. This is one of them, you know, this thing on lust. Okay. The next thing would be that to realize that me trying to control this isn't working, that I need something else. I need something that is stronger, better, bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
We know who that is. That's Jesus. because everyone who's listening has had a relationship with the Lord, has come to him and said, please save me from this. You may not have asked him to be your Lord, but you may have asked him for both, but you may have just asked him to save you. But now's the opportunity once again of being able to, again, coming to him and realizing how much he loves you and what's going on. Now, the way of being able to do that, you've got to put yourself in situations to hear that. So that means that you may have to start going to church again. It may mean that you may have to find yourself going to more than just a Sunday service that you hear from the pulpit. You may have to maybe seek out men's ministry or a ministry for men, however you want to look at it. I'm afraid of big crowds. Well, then find one that has smaller crowds. Why don't you talk to your senior pastor and ask him, is there another group? Oh, no, I can't do that. He's so busy. That's a lie from the enemy.
Yeah, and we're going to do that. We're going to try and think of all sorts of reasons to not do something, because not doing something is easier than the effort.
Looking for the easier, softer way.
Right. You know, but God has given us every tool that we need. If you don't, just go to 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'm not going to take the time to quote it because it's a long verse. Mm-hmm. But he has given us all the tools that we need in this battle against sin.
Yes.
You know, and one of the things that, you know, like you're saying, there's the fellowship. There's being around other men who are like-minded. Seeking help from a pastor, getting involved in the church. You know, these are all great things. But one of the things that we really need to do is to follow some examples of people who are in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And the person in my mind right now is Joseph. When he was being tempted by Potiphar's wife, mm-hmm. what he did is he didn't sit there and follow the worm around for a while,
Right.
He turned and ran immediately.
Right.
But he didn't give any provision to the flesh. He didn't give any provision to go and do, mm-hmm. What his flesh would want to do.
Right.
Now, did he do that on his own, or did he do that because of his love for his God?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he did it by the power of God that was in him.
Wow. You know, what was that? The power of God.
Yes.
So God's power comes through us.
Oh, amen. Yeah, we have the Holy Spirit living in us.
I think it's in the book of James, is it not? Or is it in Ephesians, where it talks about it's through our weaknesses? No, it's in the book of Matthew, right? It's through our weaknesses that God's power is perfected. That's where Peter said, Lord, take this thorn from my side.
Was Paul.
Paul, rather, did I say Peter?
Yeah.
And he goes on.
Corinthians.
And he goes on and lets us know once again. And then Jesus replies to him, says, My grace is sufficient
for you. Yeah.
And then he goes on to say that really what it comes down to is that.
It comes down to I will rejoice in my weaknesses because it is because of my weaknesses that God's power is perfected in me. Because Eric is weak when it comes to lust.
Yes.
And so every moment of victory that Eric has over lust is the displaying of the power of God in me.
Amen. And that is what we have to be willing to allow to take place. And the only way of being able to do that is to open that door to allow God to be able to come through. We keep him back in his power from being part of our lives because our will is to will for the flesh. It really is. It's to be able to get that desire to be able to succeed in winning over that good feeling that's going to happen if I continue down this path. That's ultimately what it is, because that's in us. We say, I can't help it. That's in me. You know, Paul talks about it, right? He says something about in the do what did he in Romans.
Yeah, Romans 7.
And, he can't help but keep, he keeps doing the same things that he used to, doesn't want to do them, but he still does them.
Yeah, and the things that he wants to do, those are the things that he just doesn't do.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm so glad that that's in the Bible, because I'm like, wow, the Apostle Paul struggled with the same stuff that I do?
Yeah. And see, that's where we think we're so unique. And some of you guys are sitting there going, okay, I need to hear some of this more often. Well, you have access to that. You don't have to wait for a radio show. You can open the Word of God. You can go seek those who are going down this path, you're going to find, whether it's your pastor or any other man, no matter how long he's been knowing Christ, to having to still deal with these same challenges that you're dealing with, that we're dealing with. And the best way of being able to do it is when you're doing it as a team, when you actually have someone else that's praying for you, not just at the moment, but keeping you in prayer. And then all of a sudden you know that no matter what, there's nothing that can separate my love or the love of God for me. Nothing. Especially if I acknowledge it and say, I know, I feel it, I sense it. He helped me to overcome that. I walked away from that situation. You know, there is nothing that is impossible for God. Okay? But for man, we're going to keep struggling and try to correct it, try to make it right, trying to be able to control it. And we can't do it. It's more of him and less of us.
Amen.
Amen.
It's all about seeking him above all things. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We are, you know, we are to be following him first and foremost. And it's not that he doesn't take away from us when we do that, but he adds to us.
All right. Amen. Hey, good topic, brother. Maybe we'll have to do it again sometime. How about next week?
We'll do this again next week. Different topic, though.
How about praying for our brothers?
Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have you as the object of our faith, the good and loving God. I pray, Father, that we would desire you above all things, that we would not desire any created thing set up as an idol, but only you. So we love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name.